This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. The recent WannaCry malware has thrown a spotlight on the issue of cybersecurity, and many are now asking, you know, just how cyber secure is their nation? You know, what are the main malware threats that businesses and consumers should be aware of? And recently, Malwarebytes, a leading malware remediation solutions provider, released its Malaysian State of Malware report that examined more than 1 billion malware infections across 200 countries. And here with me today, gentlemen, if you could introduce yourselves.
Hi, this is Thomas Miller. I'm a Senior Vice President with Malwarebytes.
And Jeff Hermusis, Regional Vice President, Asia Pacific.
Welcome to the show, and let's start talking about the state of our internet at the moment. You know, with the recent hits like, you know, WannaCry just recently, has this sort of put a dent into the well-being state of, you know, the internet?
Well, certainly it's eroded confidence. Ransomware especially is a very insidious form of attack, and the consequences could be dire. So imagine a hospital with its files encrypted, not being able to treat patients, which was the case we saw recently in the UK. The good news is protection technologies are available. And so with the right amount of discipline and the right attention to your security profile, these kinds of attacks are preventable.
How dangerous exactly is the internet at the moment? You know, because, you know, we're just seeing so many hits, and there's also talk about this net neutrality that's going on in the US. It just feels like it's just getting smacked left, right, center here at the moment.
It's true. You know, we face many of the same problems in the cyber world that we face in our physical world. Criminals are being able to take more and more advantage of a very broad attack surface. But, you know, we're very well aware of the expansion of technologies here in Malaysia. But it also creates more risk. And so, again, if industries, governments, consumers, if they're not diligent about protecting themselves, these vulnerabilities arise, and it's very profitable for criminals. And there's a nation state component as well, which we always have to be aware of, because some of these technologies, like the payload delivery technology that propagated the WannaCry attack, were actually developed by a nation state in the WannaCry example through the US NSA.
Jeff, let's talk about Asia, this explosion, mobile devices. We seem to be carrying a lot of them now, more than one for some people. Has this also sort of, you know, been the issue about, you know, why the internet is just being, you know, taking so many hits, because there's just so many doors now to be hit?
Yeah, and thanks for that, Jeff. What I've noticed is in the Malwarebytes State of Malware report for Asia Pacific that came out in March, Malaysia was fifth in terms of malware attacks, 10th globally for botnet attacks, and 12th for Android malware globally. Now, Android's the big one. Asia Pacific accounts for 50% of those hits.
Wow.
So there's a lot of activity out here. But in the last 9 months, what I've come to learn is that people are just not aware of the style of attack and how they can get infected. They still believe that the old way of protection with an antivirus is enough. And I think this WannaCry, as bad as it was, it's at least made people aware that they need to protect themselves, and they're probably not protected now.
So what are the threats that they should be aware of, whether you're a business, you know, owner or a consumer itself?
Yeah, so malware is you know, the way of a malware attack has changed dramatically. Malware is attached to an exploit kit, and an exploit kit is something that resides on the internet. So and no form of antivirus is going to protect you from that. Mm. It's as simple as being on the internet where your browser's been hijacked, it's gone to a dark place, an exploit kit has been put on it, it's returned, and it takes a look at the vulnerabilities in your computer, and it's going to get in. And unless you have a multiple-layered defense system, it's going to go straight through your computer, and before you know it, you've been attacked. So I think in answer to your question, Jeff, it's very, very important that people are aware that attacks have changed dramatically, and traditional ways of protection just simply don't work anymore. Mm.
And it seems like, you know, it comes down to email. It seems to be the favorite weapon of choice when it comes to, you know, malware attacks. You know, WannaCry is a very good example of it. Has this email attacks just become a lot more smarter because it's harder for the average consumer to identify whether is this real or is this just, you know, a phishing email?
It has. Jeff mentioned the proliferation of something known as an exploit, which a year ago was the predominant way in which an attacker had the capability to profile a machine and understand whether vulnerabilities existed. And so an exploit takes advantage of these vulnerabilities. What we're seeing as technology improves in order to detect and block these exploit-driven attacks is the attackers shifting more towards email-based or spam malware-based attacks. Mm. And these are actually getting very sophisticated. It's no longer the idea that there's a URL inside of an email with some tempting link to click on something that would then begin the process of that malicious payload being downloaded. These are significantly more sophisticated attacks now being borne out in malware, which trick the user into doing something which doesn't seem as obvious as clicking a link. And then things like macros get invoked and scripts get run. And that's how attackers are able to penetrate through email. So it requires discipline. And oftentimes the humans are the weak link. But again, with the good news is the right product in place and a defense in depth, a sort of a layered protection strategy, these kinds of attacks are preventable.
Are these attacks also in danger to a nation itself? Because, you know, we see a lot of, you know, countries talking about, or cities talking about being a smart city and so forth. And all these are, you know, connected to the internet. Banking in the UK, you know, it was affected. Does this affect a nation?
Potentially, it does. You know, there's a theme behind many of these attacks, and it's a profit motivation to understand what attacks are occurring in which parts of the world. Largely, if you follow the money and understand the financial motive of the attacker, you can pretty much dissect why that particular attack was prevalent in that particular country. Certain countries are more target-rich for Android attacks versus ransomware attacks, for example. But nation-state attacks are very different. A big part of the controversy around the WannaCry attack was the payload delivery technology, which was developed by a government, which was hacked itself, and then criminals essentially became aware of it and then used it to deliver the WannaCry payload. Should nations stockpile these kinds of technologies where known vulnerabilities are kept secret from the public, if more governments and enterprises, industries, small businesses, consumers, if they were aware of this exploit, it would have been more preventable. Mm. But as governments use these exploits as cyber weapons and stockpile them, you do create this somewhat philosophical concern about whether it's an appropriate use of government to stockpile these cyber weapons, because if they get in the wrong hands, we've now seen what happens.
Mm. Do you also sort of – yeah, Jeff, you were going
to
add?
No, I was going to just add to Tom. What Tom was saying is the government here has a drive to try and get everybody to 95 – the nation to 95% connected, right? What that means is this issue that they have is just going to get bigger as more people come along. So I think awareness is super important, and just be aware of what's out there and what it can do to you. A lot of these viruses, by the way, malware has been sitting on your computer for a while. The statistics we have tell us that 200 days is the average dwell time on a computer before anybody catches this stuff. And what we do is we try and shorten that dwell time and pull it out so before any damage is done. So.
I'm speaking to Jeff Hermesist and also Thomas Miller from Malware Bytes. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about bots and where do they reside. You'll be surprised. BFM 89.9.
Bankers, financiers, and moneymakers. BFM 89.9.
we're back, and this is Tech Talk. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and I'm here with Thomas Miller and also Jeff Hermeses. They are from Malwarebytes, and early on we were talking about ransomware and the threat that it sort of presents to consumers, to business owners, and also to nations as well, and that debate of should these kind of loopholes be discovered earlier on because it came out about from a central intelligence agency and so forth. Let's talk about botnets, because they seem to be on the rise, and they seem to have found home here in Asia Pacific. Jeff?
Yeah, as I said earlier, Malaysia's number 10 in terms of global dominance in the botnet area.
It's not a good thing to be proud of, right?
It's not a great thing. There's other countries that are obviously much worse, but what is a botnet? It's basically you're hijacking anything that's connected on the internet, and you're propagating that into a malicious attack on other things. And again, these types of attacks are all about the money, right? Yeah. It's how do we get to the money? So we like to use the phrase following the money, right? And trying to understand what these cyber criminals want, how they want to get there. Once we understand that, we can shut them down.
Well, talking about money, you know, where do money reside is the banks. And, you know, we do a lot of online banking these days. Banking Trojans, is that something to be very worried
absolutely.
About?
Absolutely. Banking Trojans, passwords, right? People want to get to the password. They want to get to the money. And it's the same with ransomware, right? And this recent attack, the WannaCry attack, which is Malaysia's 65th, was 65th in the world. Not too bad. But the reality is people aren't talking about it. I've talked to a couple of our partners here in Malaysia yesterday. The problem is much worse than people think. It's embarrassing if you get hit with ransomware. So they're not talking about it. And a lot of them are paying that. So they're paying the money that they're asking.
So how do you sort of go about in coming to terms about when you have a business and it's a public name as well. And, you know, if you announce yourself that, oh, you know, I've got hit because of a reason like, you know, WannaCry. How do you manage that brand and, you know, trying to, you know, come out of it? Because reporting it is the first step to, you know, sort of coming out and learning more about ransomware instead of keeping it in the dark, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it does is there's a couple of things. First of all, it makes people aware, right? So if you're going to get hit, hopefully you're going to take the proper precaution so that it doesn't happen again. And then you have to understand what is ransomware and what, you know, and how are you going to get infected. So I think that's super important. But, you know, going down that road, the future is clearly, you know, protecting yourself in a multiple layer approach, right? And making it more difficult for the criminals to get through one layer or two layers. And, you know, we've got six different layers on one side and one on the other. So it's very, very difficult for people to go through and get through to your computer.
So. You know, it's like just putting a steering lock in your car when you park in a multi-story car park. It just makes it harder for the guy to break in when, you know, the car next to it is just, you know, there's no alarm system.
Yeah, so antivirus is one layer, right? And then there's the next generation, which is another layer. Well, on top of that, right, we've got four other layers that are our proprietary secret sauce, if you will, of what makes us successful, why people download our stuff 500,000 times a day, right? It's just, and that's what's protecting people or helping them to clean out whatever's in their computer in the first place.
Let's talk about Malwarebytes as the company itself. From the conversations that we have, it shows that security is an everyday thing. You know, you're not quite sure what's going to happen tomorrow, and you know how badly it's going to impact the world. How do you guys sort of then keep up with this? And you know, businesses is just, you know, thriving, and then when WannaCry happens, they're screaming in pain. And I'm sure, you know, you guys got a lot of calls during that time. How are you keeping up with you know, the pace of business?
We have a unique advantage. Jeff just mentioned the 500,000 downloads a day of our free product. That drives about 3 million detections a day of malware that's actually infected a system. Now, the majority of these systems were protected by a traditional product, typically an antivirus product. And so we use that telemetry to inform what we refer to as a defense-in-depth strategy. So within our product, attackers are using multiple vectors of attack. We use multiple vectors of protection. And without getting into too much of the technology, it's very difficult for an adversary, in the example of the WannaCry attack, to penetrate through all of these layers of what we call pre- and post-execution, meaning the malware has already executed on the system and you're dealing with it on a post-execution basis, or it's yet to execute. And there are pre-execution layers within our product that would prevent that attack. And so we've unified these layers into a single product, but they each perform a specific function. In the WannaCry example, four different layers of our technologies would have prevented that attack. And so the message, I think, to consumers and businesses is to really be diligent about the security product you're looking at. Obviously, we're going to advocate for Malwarebytes, but they're more and more our products helping protect customers using a layered approach. And so we would absolutely advocate for that concept, defense in depth, layered security. That's the way to go.
Mm. And is there, you know, expansion of the business now that, you know, more and more companies around this region are, you know, getting online and, you know, looking for protection in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. We've made an investment in Asia Pacific about 12 months ago, and Jeff is running the theater for us. We think there's tremendous opportunity for our message because, again, this capacity to see what's working from the adversary's perspective, and it's sort of an ironic way to think of it, that these malware attacks do constitute a success, at least in someone's eyes, and because we're the place that users around the world go when they suspect that a device has been infected. It's our access to that unique data set that helps inform this defense in depth strategy that gives us this unique advantage, we think, on a global basis. So certainly, while the Asia-Pacific region is less vulnerable to some forms of attack like ransomware, it's not less vulnerable, but less targeted, that will change as your attack surface grows, as you become a more target-rich environment. Expect to see more attacks, which can produce a financial outcome like ransomware, start to evolve even more dramatically and prolifically here in this region. The good news, we think, for Malwarebytes is we've built our product to be ready for that on a global basis. And then we're able to inform the product through all of these detection events through our free tool that gives us what we think is a strong advantage in the marketplace.
Well, APAC is, you know, the fastest growing market in the world, and, you know, it's only a matter of time before cybercriminals sort of put the spotlight on us because, you know, of this growth. Let's talk about Malaysia, Jeff. You know, since we mentioned about how, you know, this is a thriving economy here in Asia Pacific, in Malwarebytes itself, how do you see Malaysia sort of being an opportunity hub? Or, you know, even a place, since we're talking about, you know, digital economy, and, you know, you mentioned about that mindset of, you know, not reporting. That surely is like, you know, a big roadblock that you have to face here because of, you know, if people are not reporting, you can't really do your work in a way as well.
Yeah, but, you know, we're lucky, as Tom alluded to before. We've got our telemetry, which tells us exactly when an attack happens and where. So that's, we're really looking forward to accumulating more data that way. But if we look at Asia Pacific, I've been focusing mostly on the Southeast Asia region as well as Australia and New Zealand. We're getting a lot of great response back from Malaysia and the companies here about protection and how to be protected. Our regional headquarters are in Singapore. We know in Singapore, there's 17 ransomware attacks every single day in Singapore. Right? And that's what we know about. That's what's being reported. So how much doesn't get reported? And so we use that as a base for trying to figure out, you know, where the rest of the attacks are. But clearly, we have a good opportunity in Malaysia. We've got some distributors here who are very excited about our product, and we get a lot of good response here. So we're going to continue developing Malaysia and help protect the people here from cyber criminals.
And finally, tips perhaps for, you know, business owners and consumers, you know, what can they do in order to stay protected moving forward now?
Well, I would encourage everyone to visit our website. It's the most trafficked site in the world for assessing whether or not your computer has malware on it. It's free. We don't require any identifying information. Simply download Malwarebytes free tool and run a scan. That will give you a very strong indication of whether or not there's anything ranging from a malware that's less serious, sometimes more nuisanceware, all the way to things like WannaCry potentially on your device. And the reason so many people go there every day is because we have, you know, really the best technology in the world to find that stuff and remove it. From there, that same technology that was capable of finding and removing those kinds of malware would be a part of a strategy, at least from our perspective, of how to protect yourself. So if we can find it, we could have protected it, protected you from it in the first place. So again, there are a number of free tools. I know Jeff mentioned Android attacks are very prevalent in this part of the world. We have an Android protection product, which is free, which you can download as well. So yeah, check out Malwarebytes. A lot of free tools on there. They really go a long way, either in terms of protecting you or giving you that sense of, hey, am I really safe? You know, is there something on my machine I need to worry about? You know, businesses and consumers depend on us to give them that insight millions of times a day.
Simple things, but yet, you know, here we are still talking about it.
And I think the important thing with the WannaCry virus in Asia Pacific was only 10% of the total infections globally. But we were very, very lucky that it happened at the end of a Friday, which brought us into our weekend. And during that weekend, there was a kill switch that had been detected, right? So it could have been much, much worse. So I don't think we should get too wrapped up in the numbers because we're lucky this time.
Yeah, wow. Well, I've been speaking to Jeff Hermeses, the Area Vice President and the Managing Director, Asia Pacific, and also Thomas Miller, the Senior Vice President for Malwarebytes, and we were talking about staying safe from malware threats for your business. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.